This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. And as Dr. Jesse Friday, we got Democrat mayors being arrested for suspending habeas corpus. I'm like a kid in a candy store out here. All right, we're going to talk about your shrink. Kids movies, COVID, stress tests, someone else is mad at Trump, all kinds of things going on in the final hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And we'll talk about the projection from Jasmine Crockett.
I mean, I'm not going to say that like a left-leaning person can.
You know, I just can't listen to her voice right now. Maybe I'll let her bring me down in a little while, but not right now. Not today, Satan. Not today. Hey, Jesse. Or she says, dear Dr. Ruth, I recently had to fire my shrink. She was wasting a lot of time bashing Trump. It got monotonous. Pushing back from me could have ended up in her notes. How do you find a therapist who's not a communist? Good luck with that. They took over the psychiatric schools a long time ago. If you go through that schooling, you're in trouble. I shouldn't say only hope, but your best hope is if you find a decent church. Churches oftentimes have counseling through them, and don't think you have to go there. Most of them you don't. I'm not telling you that you have to go there. And even then it might be screwed up. Remember, there's all kinds of screwed up churches too. Don't think that you'll be okay there. Jesse, more than just a stress test, I believe COVID was mass experimentation. Couldn't get enough volunteers to see if mRNA, so mass experimentation. All right, well, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but here's what I think. The pharmaceutical industry is a gigantic industry, and that's not new. Really, throughout history, people have wanted to be healed when they're sick, when they're injured. And they've wanted to live longer. This is not a new phenomenon. That's human beings. We want to keep living. We want to live healthier. Any doctor, medicine man who can provide those things, they're normally going to be very sought after. All right. So that here in America, our medical industry is all over the place, but the pharmaceutical industry is extremely lucrative. Globally, it's extremely lucrative. And remember, yes, they do a lot of good, for sure. I'm not denying that at all. There are medications that maybe have changed your life or saved your life, but it's still a for-profit endeavor. Not that that's bad, but it's a for-profit endeavor. And so when you have a for-profit endeavor, what you want is consistent return customers. When I was selling RVs, remember what I was doing before I started this? I was selling RVs. You want to know the thing about selling RVs or cars or whatever if you get into sales? The longer you do it, the easier it is to make your sales numbers. And do you know why? Because the longer you do it, the more return customers you get if you took care of them the first time. I remember how frustrated I was when I first got started. Because I was busting my butt trying to make sales, trying to make ends meet. And I'd be trying to schedule appointments, but I don't really know anybody yet. And so I'm dealing with we call them ups, someone who just drove on the lot as an up. It's a fresh up. It's a new up. Call them ups. Hey, you got a fresh up. So I'm trying to grab this person off the parking lot and talk them into buying an RV. And yet the dude who was selling right next to me had been there for 30 years. And he never leapt off his desk to go grab someone in the parking lot. He wouldn't do it. You know why? All day long, return customers came in. Hey, Marty, I haven't seen you for 6 years since I sold you that Wildcat. You ready for a new one? Oh, okay, let's go get you a new one. Sales just walking in, falling into his lap. Return customers. Pharmaceutical industry is no different. And once COVID came out, if you're in the pharmaceutical industry, anything like that, anything that creates health fear in people is an opportunity for you. So as soon as it came out, the wheels started turning. Hey, we've been working on this mRNA gene therapy stuff. We could probably package this and sell this as a way to keep people from getting COVID. And of course, it didn't do that at all. We could sell it then as a way to keep people from spreading COVID. It didn't do that either. It didn't do any of those things. Did none of that stuff. But you mass package it. And then, I said before, I'll say it again, Operation Warp Speed is one of the most evil pieces of legislation ever, because it allowed these companies to partner with the federal government, cut out all the red tape, and just streamline this stuff into society. Next thing you know, every ad's a pharmaceutical ad on television. Hey, did you take your shot? I took my 15th shot. So I think it was more of an industry met opportunity. That's what it was. An industry met opportunity. Jesse, as parents of six, we've compiled a compulsory movie viewing list that every anti-communist kid should enjoy, age appropriate. The subject of this one is, what are the movie rules for the boys? I remember the oldest being upset that we let some of the kids watch Full Metal Jacket, Commando, Terminator, Lethal Weapon, and Blazing Saddles at earlier ages than she was allowed. She says it's because they were boys, and she was probably right. We were debating movie choices Saturday, and our 13-year-old said, I wonder what movies Jesse and Aubrey make James and Luke watch with them. So do you do anything similar, or what movie rules do you have as they are getting older? Can say their name, and I can make the kids' day with some fart sounds. And that's the Beach family who wrote in. All right, so I am historically a little bit more lenient than Ob is with what I will allow the boys to watch. I admit that. The rule we have now, and it's the rule we've had for a couple years. Look, I'm not saying this is good, so I'm not giving you advice, okay? We're really okay with violence on some level. I don't want my kids watching people getting tortured or any of that other stuff, but my kids have seen Rambo, all of them. We're okay with some language. Now, it's not that I want my kids using that language, but I'm also not naive. They're teenage boys, and teenage boys love to do dangerous, forbidden things. And so I'm sure when they get with their friends, they're using potty words they wouldn't be allowed to use in front of their mother. We're okay with that. The one place we do draw the line is the the nudie stuff. That is the place we draw the line. We will sit down and we will watch. We have to usually make them watch something, because these kids have no taste in movies. They like the dumbest things in the world. We have to show them what's good. So we'll sit down and we'll show them Indiana Jones. My kids have seen all the Indiana Jones movies, the Lord of the Rings. Don't sneer at Indiana Jones, Chris. The Lord of the Rings movies, all that stuff. The one place we draw the line is nudie stuff. And I told you, remember my Deadpool story? Remember I told you that? So this is years ago. The movie Deadpool came out, which I wouldn't go see it now because it's Marvel, that's Disney, whatever. But it's a superhero movie. We weren't sure about it because we'd heard it was more adult-themed, and it very much is adult-themed. This is not Captain America. Bad language and things like that. I'm on a flight. I forget where I was. It was something for work. I was on a flight, and they had Deadpool on there. I thought, well, what a great opportunity. I can screen this movie for my kids, see if it's age-appropriate. I watched Deadpool on the plane. plenty of potty words, F-bombs and stuff like that. Plenty of shootings and stabbings and blowing ups and stuff. But it wasn't the end of the world. Maybe a risque joke that pushed things a little too far, but not the end of the world, I didn't think. What do I do when I get home? Tell Lob, we need to watch Deadpool. The boys will love it. We gather around for Deadpool. And if it's ever a situation where I'm not sure of, I keep the remote handy, right? So I can pause it. Why? I just watched the movie. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Yeah. It turns out that for obvious reasons, the airplane, the companies, they cut out the raunchiest nudie scenes. And there's a really, really bad one in there. And it came on in front of teenage boys. And I was 20 feet away. I was over in the kitchen. And I'm screaming across the room, cover your eyes, right? But the TV's blasting. I mean, what difference does it make? Oh, to this day, I have to hear it from Ob about that. I felt about it. And then, of course, she's yelling at me like I wrote and produced it. Jesse, you said it was okay. I said I swore I thought it was. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about Trump. Somebody's mad at him. Hang on. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, I'm very disappointed in our leader for not publicly scolding these horrible senators for doing this. He's talking about torpedoing Ed Martin. I love Trump. I truly believe if not for him, the country would be lost. But if he was truly committed, I believe he would have demanded Martin get in. Says his name is Shelby. Look, I brought this up in the first hour. Maybe you missed it, but I think either Trump thinks he needs Tom Tillis or does need Tom Tillis. It's the only explanation I can come up with for how gentle he's been with Tom Tillis torpedoing his U.S. attorney for D.C. This Trump, like, remember, this is Trump. He called a woman horse face publicly. He'll make fun of Rosie O'Donnell for being ugly. Remember, Chris, grab that clip of Trump and Terry Moran where he said this is a golden opportunity to him. And he said, what did he tell the guy? Frankly, I've never heard of you before. I mean, Trump is more than happy. It's part of what people love about him. He's more than happy to both barrels crush anybody publicly. He will criticize you. He will dump on you. Yet Tom Tillis does something tangibly awful to Trump. Trump will kill you in the media if he watches a movie you made he didn't like. Tom Tillis stopped Trump's nominee and admitted he did it. And this is how Trump talked about it.
We have somebody else that will be great. I just want to say Ed is unbelievable, and hopefully we can bring him into whether it's DOJ or whatever, in some capacity, because really outstanding. To me, it was disappointing, I'll be honest. I have to be straight. I was disappointed. A lot of people were disappointed. But that's the way it works sometimes, you know. That's the way it works. And he wasn't rejected, but
I am 100% convinced that Trump either needs or thinks he needs Tom Tillis. There's no other explanation for, well, I mean, I'm disappointed, but you got to vote your conscience. Whatever you feel is best. I don't even know who that guy is. Jesse, would like to share an inspirational letter / email that was sent to us by the biological parents of a foster child that we fostered for 2+ years. In the past, Jesse made mention of foster care, and I never thought much of it until my wife and I prayed about it, and it has not only changed my life, but the ones we care for as well. Thanks, Jesse. Just small seeds can plant fruitful gardens. One, don't you dare ever thank me. You're the one who did it. That's one. Two, that's just me thanking you. Thank you. Two, fostering kids, adopting kids. I have always believed it's one of the most blessed things you can do on earth. To take a child, snatch them out of a bad situation, and give them love and home and a family is to completely change somebody's life. If you're considering it, I would encourage you to pray about it. And if you, maybe you are that adopted child, and maybe life has been rocky, because life can be rocky when you adopt one. It doesn't always work out perfectly. I've seen that a bunch. And life can be rocky if you're the adopted one. You always have these, I mean, it comes with issues, right? It's imperfect. There's no question about that. It comes with issues. If you are an adopted child, may I make a suggestion? Shoot your parents a text message right now and tell them thank you, even if you've done it before. Tell them, hey, I love you and thank you. It's a really blessed thing to do for somebody. It is one of the things that Ab and I have discussed, and I don't have, actually, I was about to say I don't have a lot of regrets. That's such a lie. I've done so many horrible things in my life. I have a laundry list of regrets. But I'll tell you something that I wished we had done when we were younger. It's not something I think I'd probably do now, but something I wished we had done when we were younger is get more serious about that. And that's on me, because I never really talked to Ab about it. And you know what's funny? This will tell you, you know, you say the show means a lot to you. Here's what you mean to me. Sometimes I tell you things I don't tell Ab first. She heard me have this conversation with you one night on the radio. She was making dinner for the boys at the house. And I got home that night and she said, why didn't you ever tell me? That was something we could have talked about. That was something we could have prayed about. So it's one of the things I wished we had done. And it's totally on me. And I don't have any good reasons for it. And sometimes I think, maybe this is a bad way to think about life, sometimes I think there's some little boy or little girl out there whose life would have been a lot better if I had stepped up. So that's probably why half the reason I encourage you to do it. Making up for my sins and my failures. Lord knows I got enough of them. Here, best-selling author. I'd like to add a new theory to the long-debated "Is Chris real?" drama. Some think he's your alter ego, like Brad Pitt in Fight Club, and Corey is simply a third personality of yours. What if the voice of some of your intros is that of the mystery man, Chris? The voice sounds like a total butt-kicking stud. I'll say this. His name is Mike, because he said, please let us know if I'm getting warmer. You couldn't be further from the truth, Mike. That is not Chris's voice on those things. He's Canadian, Chris? Am I allowed to give out his name? His first name? Can I say that? Am I allowed to do that? I'll give out his first name. The guy who does the Jesse Kelly show or whatever it is, his name is Gary. I'm so disappointed he's Canadian, Chris. I thought better of him. Either way, this industry's crazy. You know, you've heard of hand models. You know, it's a joke in movies. That's a real thing. Some people just have hands that are amazing, like mine. You can get a job as a hand model. And some people just have a voice that is epic. And you get paid for having an epic voice. It's crazy. It's as crazy as giving your dog food without rough greens on it. That's crazy. I mean, I would never, but you don't do that either, right? You don't just give your dog food and then wonder why you have to go to the vet all the time because your dog's always sick. Wonder why your dog is super lethargic or hyperactive. Wonder why your dog's coat is fading, his breath smells like garbage. This is because your dog doesn't get nutrition. If you don't get nutrition, you'll be at the doctor all the time. Your breath will stink. Your skin will look like crap. Sprinkle rough greens on your dog's food. Natural nutritional supplement that will make your dog come alive in ways you can't imagine. He'll live longer is maybe the most important thing, but he'll just be a better dog in every way. And Rough Greens saves you money because you don't have to go to the vet near as often. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Neyfakh from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, you brought back Gary's voice. Chris, do we know Gary? Do you know him? Have you talked to Gary? You've talked to him? Does he seem like a nice guy? You don't think he's a dirty communist, do you? He could be. I mean, you never know. He is Canadian. That's a good point. I mean, you never know with those people, right? You never know. The snow commies. Jesse, I do like J.D. Vance for 2028. The fact that he's a former Marine makes me like him even more. But after that traitor loser Mike Pence, I don't trust him like I trust Trump. I know many will have Trump fatigue come election season in 2027. But I think we need is him to finish the job. What do you think? Well, what I think is that J.D. Vance got an opportunity. From my understanding, Donald Trump Jr., he was the big J.D. Vance fan. He knows him. He was the one pushing Trump to make J.D. Vance the VP. Trump agreed. J.D. Vance got an opportunity dropped into his lap and has killed it ever since. I mean, in a good way. He's absolutely killed it ever since. He plays the role of the happy warrior very well, always a smirk on his face, but not backing down, bold enough to speak up and speak out against other world leaders. He's not some shrinking violet, yet he still has the ability, even though he's vice president and super educated now, he has the ability to seem pretty relatable. When you see J.D. Vance with his wife, look, you never know what goes on. I don't know him personally, but they look like they love each other, right? They look like a lovely young couple. When you see him with his kids, that can't be faked. He very obviously loves his children. His children love him. They just look like a wonderful young couple. And he seems like this Marine patriot who loves America. So it looks great. If we're talking about 2028, it looks great. Right? The idea of a J.D. Vance, someone like that. But my only words of caution are, remember the Chris Christie rule. And don't send me an email yelling that J.D. Vance is not Chris Christie. I know that. But the Chris Christie rule is not just about Chris Christie. It's just named for Chris Christie because he's the best example of it. And that Chris Christie rule is, in politics, you don't stay popular forever. You stick around long enough in politics and you can go from being on the mountaintop to in the deepest, darkest valley on planet Earth. People forget it because Chris Christie is a worthless punching bag now for everyone on the right. Everyone hates his guts. I'm sure you do too. I can't stand him. I never could. People forget it. But Chris Christie was the bee's knees in Republican circles for a while. Governor of New Jersey. No Republican wins that. He's this tough-talking New Jersey guy. Get it? He was everything. He was kind of I'm going to get all kinds of hate for this, but I don't care. It's still kind of true. He was kind of a good primer for Trump, for what Trump was. Meaning, you know that there's something about a Northeast accent. I realize I don't really have an accent. That's because I lived all over the country, North, South, East, West. I've lived everywhere. But everyone knows what a Northeast accent is. And I realize there are differences between New York City and Boston and Philly. There are little differences. But all of it sounds what on dudes? At least on dudes. It's kind of a tough guy accent. Hey, get over here. It just kind of sounds like that tough. It sounds tough. It does. And when we were looking for tough, We were angry at Democrats. We were angry at Barack Obama. We were looking for tough. And there comes Chris Christie. I would argue he was a very much a Trump Jr. before Trump himself came along. But one political scandal later, one or two political scandals later, he takes a walk on the beach with Barack Obama. He gets caught sitting on a lawn chair looking extra fat when other people weren't allowed there. And that turned into an internet joke. And soon it was gone. He had an opportunity to run for president. He would have been the nominee. He declined, decided he would try the next time, and got his doors blown off. The Chris Christie rule. I'm not saying that's going to happen to J.D. Vance. I'm not. He may be our next nominee. I would argue right now, if you could pick J.D. Vance or anyone else, be 50-50. I bet you it'd be even money. I don't know. I'm not a big gambler, but I bet you it'd be even money. 4 years is a long time. Dear Two-Fisted Tamale Eater, you mentioned that it's hard to root out the evils in governments without centralized power. Us and the people we elected have been asleep at the wheel for so long that every institution has been infected. I'm still worried that not enough people have awakened to save the country. I know Trump can't do it himself, and 4 years is not enough. Do you think it's even possible at this point, or are we only able to slow it down for a period of time? No, I absolutely believe it's possible. And I'll tell you, for no other reason than we don't have another choice. I'm not giving up on America. I'm not. I know we're in a really bad spot. And I know the rot is really, really deep. And I know we have more work to do than I know. Right? I know that I don't know. Does that sound weird? Every day, I find out about new levels of corruption, don't you? I mean, I could have told you about all kinds of government waste before the Elon Musk stuff, the Doge stuff started coming out, but I couldn't have given you those specifics. I go through the same thing you go through. I know it's a lot. And as it gets exposed, we get more and more and more of it. I know. I get all that. I got all that. But you say more people need to wake up. You're correct. But look, this is the only place we've got. Here's how I look at it. It's the only place we've got. This is the country God put me in. I didn't ask to be here. This is where I was born. I feel incredibly blessed to have been born here. And I want those blessings for my sons. I fight for my sons and for their sons after them. I don't want my kids to live in an oppressive communist country. I don't want them to have to live in a compound in the mountains. I don't want that. I want my kids to live free the way I have lived for my 43 years. And so because I don't view leaving the country, I don't view leaving the ship as an option, we got to bail water. And you can say, but Jesse, the water's coming in too fast. You might be right. You can say, Jesse, there aren't enough people helping us bail water. You might be right. But here's what I know. Without question, if you and I don't bail water, the ship is going down. That's it. I don't view it as us having an option. I don't. We have to keep bailing. And we have to hope the water isn't coming in too fast. And we have to hope we haven't already taken on too much water. And we have to hope that our fellow passengers on this boat will step up and grab a bucket and help us bail water. But even if none of those things are true, I choose to bail water. Otherwise, I wouldn't bother with this. I'll tell you what. If I retire early, I'm not going to retire early. But if I walk away early, you will know that's me having given up. That's why I do this. If I switch and I just do maybe I want to keep working, maybe I do a history podcast or something like that, only history, you will know I've walked away and I think we can't be saved. I'm not there. What, Chris? Chris said, what's early? Do I need to brush off my resume? No, buddy, you're sticking with me forever. Even if we just do history, you're just going to have to sit there and suffer. No, I'm not retiring, and no, I'm not just going to do history, but I'm not done. I refuse to be done. And I can't predict the future. Maybe next year I will be. Maybe I'll wake up and it'll be one thing too many and I just freak out and that's it. I'm quitting. I'm not quitting yet. And I hope I never, ever do. All right? And I hope you have as pleasant an experience as I had dealing with Legacy Box. Ob She went through all of our albums. We had baby albums for the boys, and we had a wedding photo album like so many people do. We had all that stuff at the house. And so she went through and she took all those pictures out, and she put them in the box, legacy box sent us. And I will tell you, from her, she was very nervous about sending that stuff away. Very nervous, because that stuff is everything to her, and we don't have copies. And so as soon as we sent the box to legacy box, Ob would annoy me every other day. Hey, will you get a whole legacy box and make sure you got it? Will you get a whole legacy box? Make sure they didn't lose it. Hey, will you get it? She wasn't being annoying. She was just, I understand it's nerve-wracking. When those are your only ones, it's nerve-wracking. She texted me yesterday, hey, don't worry about getting a hold of legacy box. They just returned all of our stuff in good order. Thank you, baby. Legacy box just took care of my family with the most precious pictures and videos we have. They digitize everything. Get your stuff digitized. They'll send you the stuff back. They hand digitize all this. It's not some robot. They will care for your stuff and send it back, and then your stuff will be digital and you'll have it forever. Get mom that for Mother's Day. She's never had a gift like that for Mother's Day. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of The Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't worry, I'm going to be back here on a Monday, Medal of Honor Monday time. Don't worry, you can email me. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Do you hear this, Virginia Democrat?
Do you believe minors in Virginia should get parental consent before having an abortion?
I think it is important that we have a constitutional guarantee of access to abortion. And notably, the constitutional amendment that is going through the process here in Virginia is...
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
Remember, they're lying at all times. At all times. Communism is evil and destructive. They know what's destructive. Therefore, their words, their language is carefully selected to deceive. The intention is to deceive. It's why the lamest, most fruitless thing you can do is point out the lies or hypocrisy of the left to the left. You can show the normies that to wake them up, but to the left, it means nothing because they're trying to deceive. It's like telling Michael Phelps he's a good swimmer. It's like telling Michael Jordan he's good at basketball. You call these people hypocrites. Inside, they're all, well, yeah, that's the point. Hey, Jesse, I heard you talking about the communist demons have infested the church, and I wanted to share a story. Last weekend, my mom and I went to our ELCA Lutheran church here in Alabama. I haven't been to this church. You said it's in Huntsville, Alabama. I haven't been to this church in a while. Gosh, I love Huntsville, Alabama. Chris, have you ever spent any time in Alabama? None? Just traveling through? It's beautiful. It's totally... completely underrated state. Orange Beach, people don't know about Orange Beach. Orange Beach is awesome. Yeah, it's not just a tiny sliver, you idiot. That's what it looks like on the map. There's plenty of freaking beach there. Orange Beach, Mobile, I love Mobile. Alabama, I would not say the chances are zero that I will live in Alabama one day. That's how much I love it. Why do you sneer? What is it? Now, what, Chris? I'm sorry. Are there not? There's Jews in Alabama. Don't make that face. I guarantee there's Jews in Alabama. There have to be. No, there are Jews in Idaho, too. You people are everywhere. Are you kidding me? Get some space lasers and get some of the people down there or whatever you're using. Hey, Jesse, has anyone officially acknowledged the presence of U.S. troops in Ukraine? I have a friend in the Army, just got deployed. Can't tell me where he is, but I'm pretty sure he's in Ukraine. Look. Whenever American munitions and money end up in a place, wherever that place is, American troops will be there too, without question. Obviously, there have been American troops in Ukraine since just about the start of it. At first, you sent them over there to watch, And then when you decide to help, they're trying to watch over that, secretly doing this and secretly doing that. Are they going to acknowledge that publicly? No, but remember this. Military locations and movements and things like that, they have to be kept secret. Loose lips sink ships is an old saying for a reason. You don't want to tell people where you are. When we were in, we were always forbidden, especially when we were in Iraq, and they told us they were reading our mail. Whether or not they were, I don't know. But we were told you are never allowed to write home and say where you are, what you're doing. You're not allowed to do that because in weird roundabout ways, it gets back to the enemy and people die because of it. Igloo, this is from Not the Bee. Igloo expands a recall of coolers due to a risk of fingertip amputation. I'm just trying to walk through this. What kind of a cooler are we talking about here? Fingertip amputation? You know what? You'd need some relief factor after that. Can you imagine? Well, listen, Chris, can you imagine how bad you would smart if you lost the tip of your finger, snipped it off in a cooler? And what if you couldn't find it? And then someone was fishing for a beer and he pulled a beer out and there was your, what, Chris? And then there's your fingertip on it. And you'd be all, yeah, man, that sucks. Too bad for you. And I don't even hurt anymore because I've been taking Relief Factor. Remember, Relief Factor is for the daily pain that plagues your life. Not necessarily for getting your finger snipped off, but we're talking about your back pain, your hip pain. We have testimonial after testimonial of people who've had their pain removed and they've got their life back. Jesse, I can walk again. Jesse, I used to hurt all the time. It's 100% drug-free. It's a supplement. No, it can't actually help with your finger, but it can help reduce the pain and eliminate the pain in your life. Call. 3 weeks of it is $19.95. Just try it. If your pain's still there after 3 weeks, don't order anymore. What's the risk in that? 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Jesse, I've been surprised and impressed with Marco Rubio. I was thinking he could be in the same league as Jesse the Dictator. What if he was to follow Trump as top dog? I love JT Vance and the work he's doing, so on and so forth. I've been very impressed with Marco Rubio, too. Very, very impressed. But remember, because they're impressive in one role doesn't necessarily mean they'll be impressive as president. I tried to warn everybody about this during Trump's first term when Nikki Haley was beating up the United Nations every day. Remember, Nikki Haley was the ambassador to the UN, and everyone on the right was salivating all over it because she was just beating them up every day and insulting them, and we hate the United Nations. And I tried to explain, that's the easiest job in the world. You show up and take a crap on the United Nations every day. Everyone would love that. That doesn't mean you can be right on other things. Just be aware of that. Hey, Jesse, these young brainwashed sycophants are out of control. Are we reaching a boiling point yet? These radical blue states are starting to worry me. Your thoughts? I would be concerned. States like Colorado, they're trying to out California. They focused, the communists focused with money and organizations to conquer Colorado, and they did it successfully. And it's getting radical. It's getting radical in these places. Look, California is shutting down refineries. I heard somebody predict that Californians are going to be paying $8 a gallon for gas next year. Hey, where do these states go? What happens in the inside of those states? What happens to the people in those states when life finally crests the point of being affordable at all? And remember, the people that they've elected, they're not going to all of a sudden reverse course. You know what? I think we need some free markets. Let's do some drilling here, because communists don't do that. They just keep pushing harder and harder and harder. Where does that go? I don't know. But I packed up my family and moved from a blue state to a red state, so I don't have to worry about it. Now, granted, I've got a whole lot of work to do trying to get Texas where it needs to be, but at least it ain't California. You enjoy your weekend. That's all.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, nine times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.